see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Noah has a mustache.
It's a look.
I love the mustache.
Okay, so I had a deep conversation with my wife about Noah's look, and we both concluded that we really like it, and we're really upset that the mustache is gone.
Thank you.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Everyone, welcome to our grown-ass podcast.
It's a grown-ass show where we discuss grown-ass men and grown-ass women and their grown-ass adventures on a grown-ass show you might have heard of called The Bachelorette.
And last night, we finally closed the door on grown-ass woman Claire Crawley, and we devoted 100% of our attention to fellow grown-ass woman Tayshia Adams.
You know, I think if we say grown-ass a few more times, the word will finally officially lose all meaning for me. And here to get into it and say grown-ass a few more times with us is correspondent and host of the Vice News Reports podcast, Arielle Duhaime-Ross. Arielle, it's so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. As a grown-ass woman, I feel really privileged to be here right now on this smoke show of a show.
I mean, if you weren't a grown-ass smoke show familiar with other grown-ass smoke shows, we would have had to cancel this appearance. But luckily, it all worked out.
I'm very happy to be here.
You know, we dive right into the episode because Tayshia had canceled that rose ceremony. We have kind of a cliffhanger episode halfway through a cycle. So we dive back in with a group date. So I think we should do the same and just jump right in. We're starting off with a group date featuring Montel, Ivan, Damar, Ben, Chasen, Ed, Bennett, and Joe. What a lineup. And Tayshia greets them and guides them into a dark conference room. They're just like, every date is basically in a conference room, which is
that's all they have
of doing.
It's actually really brutal and very, I don't know, it just really totally takes me out of the show at this point. Like, I cannot stop thinking about the crew, the lighting, what it takes to make these rooms look good, which is a lot, honestly, because they're failing every time.
Yeah, it's must just, take right. a lot because they're not doing enough. I mean, it's the one huge downside, I feel like, of doing it on it, like, all in the resort, which in many ways I think the resort is nicer than the mansion. There's more room for the guys to spread out. Like, it's a nice right. new visual. But then whenever the group date comes along, they're in the same sort of event space with different hangings on the walls and different high school theater props.
They need more dates just in the pool. At least you have natural light.
Exactly. Anything for the natural light. Send them out into the brush, you know, like whatever you've got to do.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, so, okay, I'm a science reporter. So, like, as a science reporter, I keep wondering, like, well, the whole crew is quarantining. Like, they can put them in a van and go out into, like, a mountainside or something, right? Like, they could have wilderness
right.
dates.
Right.
Like, why are they not doing that?
Run into someone on the trail. Like, So it seems like typically they would find a way to make it isolated anyway. It's not
right.
Like
these secure locations.
Yeah.
Like I just don't get. I'm also waiting for like quarantine a helicopter pilot for a little bit and like just put them in a helicopter. Like you do this all the time. Why
yeah,
have you not
so
like
true.
Paid a helicopter pilot for the duration of the taping? Like it just.
I also do wonder if we'll see some sort of like variations on this theme for The Bachelor. Like now that they've sort of been through it, I wonder if they're gonna give Matt James's season a little bit more leeway and we'll maybe see a little bit,
right.
a few more creative solutions to this issue.
Well, they also have a bigger budget, right? The Bachelor has more money.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So. Also that.
Mm.
I was also wondering if they're just saving that stuff for later because by the time they come to... you know, fantasy suites, they're not going to want to be like, and here is our beautiful romantic date in conference room A. They're going to want the
yeah,
helicopter
all right.
for
That's
that.
That's fair. That's fair. They got to build up to it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take
that
it.
That might be it.
But alas, we are still in a conference room for this date.
There's a dramatic voiceover from two sort of familiar sounding voices, Ashley and Jared, explaining, Tayshia's been through it all. She knows what she's looking for. A grown-ass man. It's the grown-ass man competition.
You know, I just found myself, the bar is so low that I was just relieved that it wasn't a real man competition. Like, I was afraid there was going to be even more masculinity policing, so...
I mean, like, it still happened.
It still happened.
It,
it still happened,
happened,
but I had an initial, like, well, at least they didn't do that other more explicit framing... even though it ended up sort of being the same result.
We're just like, right. oh, I'm so grateful that the scale is from immature child to man instead of lady to man.
Exactly, exactly. That's where
guess
the bar
this is.
Is
better.
That's terrible.
It's really
also,
bad.
Also, can we talk about how this seems like a really appropriate anniversary trip for Ashley and Jared?
Yes.
I was like, yeah, this feels right. Like, they would want to go back on a Bachelor show to celebrate their one-year anniversary.
I still can't believe that they actually got married. I mean, I'm very happy about this union, but I'm also like, I still, like, what a roller coaster.
I mean, just ask them. They'll tell you the whole story.
Oh, I know. I have watched the entire thing on YouTube. It is awful.
I'm so sorry to report that I also have. Which I think we did discuss when I was on your podcast.
Yes, it's true.
I couldn't make it through. It's hard for me to be that wrong about something. I was more wrong about Ashley and Jared than I think I've ever been in my life. And I've been wrong about a lot of stuff, a lot of more important stuff. But this was the hardest I've ever been wrong. And so I'm going to be watching them really closely, you know, just to find out if, you know, if I was actually right. No, they seem happy. And they are here to judge this grown-ass man competition. The loser will be deemed a man-child. And so they have three basic types of competition. A intelligence competition.
Basic math skills is and spelling. Basic.
Yes. A strength and fitness sort of challenge. And then a romance type challenge.
Well, so, Clary, I mean, you know that you cannot be a grown man, sorry, a grown ass man, unless you're able to properly win a full body tug of war match. That's
oh yeah, that's a requirement.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, my 11-month-old son can beat both my husband and myself in any sort of strength competition. So personally, I don't think that that tracks, but maybe I'm just biased.
Well, maybe you're
as
confused. Maybe Max is a grown-ass man and you
maybe
need to just
is.
Let him out into the wild to live his truth.
That would make my life a lot easier. So first up is the math and spelling competition. This is where Bennett's really going to shine. I don't know if you guys remember Bennett. He went to Harvard.
Wait, he went to Harvard?
Yeah, it's
that's the first time I'm hearing that. I've
you
never
might not
heard,
be
yeah,
familiar
Harvard
with Harvard,
know.
But it's actually quite notorious for being attended only by the best and the brightest, the smartest.
Right.
Do you mean
right,
well,
of course?
Do you mean the H bomb? He dropped the H bomb
a few
it's
times.
Just how it's just how insiders refer to it. It's like,
I also love how, I don't remember who did this, but somebody else said he's from Harvard, which I'm like, it's not a country, it's not a state. Like, I don't understand how you can be from Harvard.
You're reborn, you know, you become a citizen of Harvard. You're like, I'm shedding my allegiance to the United States. I'm a Harvard man now. So they start by doing some very basic word problems, and immediately Bennett is just the only one getting any of them wrong. He also can't spell limousine. DeMar
doesn't, okay, with the math stuff, doesn't he work in finance? Like, I'm not, listen, I'm dyslexic, like, basic math is very stressful to me. Seriously, I like make my wife, like when we play Scrabble, like she will calculate our scores. Like I will not do it. But doesn't he work in finance? Like, doesn't he manage?
Okay, so here's the thing. As someone who did also go to an Ivy League school where lots of dudes go into finance, you don't have to be good at math. It's not about that. It's about networking. Mm-hmm. It's about being like the guy who was on the touch football team with the other guy who works at the other bank. You know, you go to these events and you have to glad hand and you talk about your fraternities and your finals clubs. You have different people doing the math. You know, that's not what the Harvard man like Bennett is for. Which is fortunate because he can't do math, it seems like, pretty much at all. And like you, I relate to that, however.
Yeah.
Doesn't establish a lot of confidence in our banking system. Damar's like, Mr. Harvard had more wrong answers than I did, and I went to Arizona State. And I really hope that this episode can just be like a subtle moment of radicalization where we all realize that the Ivy League...
it's a scam.
It's a scam. Yeah. A very, you know, expensive, prestigious scam. And plenty of people who go to Arizona State are probably smarter than plenty of people who went to Harvard.
And the thing, I guess this is also part of a larger pattern, right? Like, it often happens that the guy who thinks he's going to get every answer right or who's going to be perfect at a challenge ends up screwing up. And it's just because, I mean, generally it's because of anxiety, right? Like they're overconfident. They go in thinking that they're going to dominate a challenge and then it goes like really, really badly. And this happens all the time on this show.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. That's true. I also wonder how much of it has to do with them recording all the guys being like, oh, yeah, I'm going to kill this challenge. And then
production was like, remind us where you went to school. Like, you know that they sort of set him up for that. But also he was pretty bad at fairly basic math.
And it's making Tayshia rethink things with him, which also is hilarious. Just like, God, can you imagine marrying someone who isn't good at doing word problems? I can't.
Right.
Shocking, right. You know, that's what children are for.
The limousine, though, doesn't he own a limousine? Right? Like, he came in his own car when he came in with Claire. Yeah. Wasn't he in some kind of a limo that he said he owned?
Did he?
Did he say he owned it?
I could be wrong about this.
I mean, he lives in New York City. It would be weird if he owned a limousine.
I would say that based on his sort of aesthetic and his framing of himself and the limousine that he arrived in, I think he should probably try to have the spelling of limousine memorized. But does it make him less worthy of marriage?
No,
not
absolutely.
Necessarily. just a number of weird dynamics going on during this portion of the date. But it's a bachelorette classic to do a sort of very simple fifth grade knowledge quiz to humiliate some of the contestants.
It's true.
Who don't remember
true.
How to do math. And then there's the tug of war. There's a guy on each end of the rope trying to get to a vase of flowers first to make it relevant to love. And Bennett begs off. He's like, oh, my knees. I have an old football injury. I guess I can't do it. And they're all like, okay, I guess, sure. Which brings us to the final challenge. For the guys to prepare a breakfast and bring it to Tayshia in bed.
I like this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that I was like, you know what? That's a skill that feels somewhat relevant to, yes, like something enjoyable you might do with someone you're in a relationship with. So like, while it doesn't, I think, perhaps define being like an adult man or worthiness for marriage, it's like good information to have. Like, yeah, it's great to be brought breakfast in bed.
For example, yeah, I would like to know if my husband is never going to do any sort of food preparation other than taking off his shirt, right, and saying, I'll be your main course for breakfast today. I'm hungry in the morning. I need food.
Yeah, Chasen really, really, I think, you know, tried to over-deliver on that. It was not
effective. He went for boldness over fundamentals.
Tayshia's like, I want boldness and an egg sandwich.
Right.
So the guys mostly do prepare her food. Bennett brings her beignets, climbs in bed next to her wearing nothing but a robe. Okay, side note. Did he make the beignets? I thought they were supposed to be preparing food, but I simply don't believe that anyone could make beignets at this little setup that they have.
I don't think he made them. I think he might have put the powdered sugar on them.
Yeah. I wondered,
like, that's like, the level of preparation we're talking about here.
How much of this was sort of pre-prepared for them?
Yeah, because it seemed like they had maybe like a couple hot plates, a folding card table. They didn't have like a deep fryer, Great British. No. Right. Bake off type situation. But Tayshia is into this. She's like, Bennett's bougie. He's bougie. I'm bougie. I love that.
She loves it when guys are silly. She's super into that. That is her dating history. She likes that he's demonstrating both a sense of humor and also, like I said, being able to care for her, right? Like, and I saw it.
Yeah. And I think she's like, yeah, it's a little bit like, I don't know, like basic maybe to the white terry cloth robe and like a very like cookie cutter image of like romance. But like, what's wrong with that stuff? It's nice. Like, it feels good. Like, I want to have the white terry cloth robe and like the handsome husband bringing me beignet. Ashley and Jared are also extremely impressed by this. They seem at this point to forget that Bennett badly lost the first competition and
did not participate in the second one.
They hand out the Manchild Award to Ed. Remember Ed? What is Ed doing here? I completely forgotten him.
I completely forgot. And then he became like a major player in this episode. And it was very, yep, confusing because the first, you know, many weeks I was like, who is that man with the forgettable face? And suddenly now I know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, this is also where we get the first hint that he doesn't like Chasen, because he rolls his eyes hard at Chasen when the guy shows up with just, like, no shirt on. I'm the breakfast. So, oh, yeah, this is the first hint.
the first real glimpse we get of Ed is him just, like, deciding to go straight at Chasen's neck. Right. His first real speaking lines, though, are basically, oh, it's fun to have the baby doll, the man baby award. Tayshia knows that not every guy here can take that. I'm fun. I'm naming this baby Carlos. Like, I'm a good sport. And Tayshia is impressed. She's like, I'm really, really proud of him. Tayshia is very protective of all of these guys. It's very sweet. And Bennett does get the grown-ass man diploma, which he then proceeds to take to the evening portion of the date, along with the robe that he continues wearing over, hopefully, at least underwear. And
hopefully.
Chasen is pretty disgusted by this. He's like, I think it's classless that he kissed her in front of us and wearing just the robe. No one wants to see that.
He's like, on the other hand, wearing just an apron is extremely classy, and there is nothing at all about this statement that is inconsistent with my behavior.
Nothing at all. This is also where he calls out Bennett for not participating in the physical challenge, right? Like, this, mm-hmm, is toxic masculinity, like, incarnate at this,
oh, yeah,
point.
This is where the masculinity policing really starts to amp up, like, and they all participated in it, right? Chasen participates in it, Ed, Bennett, the rest of the men seem to wisely sort of, like, sit it out. But they, like, start throwing out these, like, ridiculous things at each other of like ridiculous evidence that one of them, you know, isn't as grown as a man as yeah. he thought he was.
I think that there is sort of widespread annoyance that Bennett got the award
sure.
when he did so badly in the first competition and then sat out the second. There might be a little suspicion that he just knew he would do badly, and that's why he sat it out, combined with the really bad score in the first one. So, like, Ivan is like, do you really think you earned that award? Like, when you competed, you didn't do a very good job. And Chasen is like, well, I don't think a grown-ass man would sit out the physical portion of a competition.
This is such a good example of how, like, men really do not understand how The Bachelorette works at all. Because they're like, it's all about fairness. And they're like, if I work hard enough, like, I will get my time with this woman. Or if I work hard enough, I will win a challenge. And like, no, actually, it really just comes down to whether she likes you or not and whether you can make her laugh. So,
yeah, like, this is not a meritocracy, gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, they're receiving a lot of mixed messages. Like,
they
a
are.
Lot of the show, and this is one of the episodes that features several of these challenges, a lot of the show is constantly sending the messages, like, if you want to end up with this woman, you'll fight for her physically. Like, you'll put your body mm-hmm. on the line. And the one who puts their body on the line the most, in the most grown-ass manly way, is going to be rewarded by time with her. Like, time with her being
right.
a presumed sort of proxy for a deepening of your relationship with her. And that's simply not how human emotions work. But that's what you're being repeatedly told is going to happen. And so, you know... And the show's also peopled by all of these guys who are so buff. Like, Joe points out later, they're all, like, ex-pro, ex-college, Division I athletes. To the point that Joe makes a comment that's like, oh, yeah, I was, like, all-conference in volleyball in high school. And I'm like,
I'm like, that's significant.
People,
that's not nothing.
That's a sport. Yeah, you were a competitive athlete in high school, and you're the nerdy weak one. Like, it's just, like, a lot of people... We're not all conference in volleyball or anything.
Right.
That's
I really do
level.
Appreciate Joe in this moment, though. He stands out to me in this episode.
Joe shined yeah. for me in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I adore him.
Yeah.
He also lives in New York. I'm like, again, I wish it wasn't COVID. I want to hang out with him.
Maybe
yeah, no,
in
I see that.
Future. But yeah, so Chasen and Ed and Bennett all start sort of taking shots at each other at this point. And meanwhile, Tayshia is grabbing the guys for time with her. And Tayshia comes in and sits down, and Bennett's like, well, I wanted to pick up where we left off. And she's like, oh, I'd like to actually say hi to everyone first.
She's like, I have to intro this date. Like,
right.
That's my job. So could
I'm
you?
Contractually obligated to be like, hey, so today, like, that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed, like, Tayshia seems, whereas Claire somewhat, like, would reward these strategic breaking of the rules, Tayshia seems sort of attached to the format a little bit more. You know, if they want to talk to her after the date's over, she's like, too late. If they yeah. want to talk to her before she's opened the date, she's like, too early. She's like, I came in to toast to everyone and then we can start. Like, don't step yeah. on my lines here.
Yeah.
Which is totally fair. And then she gets Bennett back a little bit because Chasen asked to speak to her first after she toasts to them being grown ass men. And she's like, I'd love that. Bye. And Bennett is just furious because it was not a grown-ass manly thing to do.
But he, as a grown-ass man, has manners. So he will just sit back and take it because that's what a grown-ass man does.
Exactly. Right.
Of course.
We're learning a lot.
So Tayshia talks with Chasen about family. His sister is expecting a child soon. He's never been in love.
Did it feel to
I just wrote red flag in this moment. Like, gigantic red flag.
He's never been in love. How old is Chasen?
That's my question.
32.
That's why it concerns me. Because typically, like, the guys are younger. Like, this is Claire's group, right? Like, the guys are skewing older than usual. So when they say that, I'm less concerned. But this guy is 32. He's never been in love? A little worried.
It also, okay, it felt a little bit to me like Chasen was very nervous and had a whole prepared speech, because all we saw was him like, he was like, family's important to me. I have a sister. She's having a baby. I've never been in love. That's what I want. But what makes you you? But like, he doesn't actually really ask her questions. He's just like, here's some stuff about me. We can talk about my other relationships later. Like, it was
this
just
is the thing that always made me crazy about conversations on The Bachelor that I found like refreshingly a little bit different with Claire's season, is how many of these early conversations are just like them establishing what they plan to talk to her about in the future. Like, I want to talk to you about how I've never been in love. I want to talk to you about family. I want to talk to you about what makes Tayshia Tayshia. When do we get to see that conversation? It's not happening now. You have time now. Like, have some of that conversation. It's all planning. And then we cut to Tayshia with Ben. They seem to have a really strong vibe. They're both
I like Ben.
You make me nervous. Ben seems cute. I haven't seen terrible about him yet.
You know, he actually reminds me of Derek. What is his last name? Pythe? Yeah, he reminds me of Derek. He's got Derek vibes.
Oh, that's interesting. He is like very cute and a little awkward and in his own head, which I think like I just enjoy seeing that sort of like awkward vibe. Not there's so many like overly confident men who come on this show, and so I think Ben is like does it for me because he's like in his head and anxious.
Yes, he seems a little more in his head, a little more to have an inner life. And he's always been a relationship guy, and now like since his last painful breakup, he's finally starting to feel things again, and he says he'd love to kiss her. I love this.
I love that.
It's a good move.
She leans in. They kiss. It's clearly a very good kiss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tayshia's like, you're trouble. I gotta just go. I gotta go.
She's Ben's gonna be here for a while. Yeah, like Ben is a front runner for sure.
She also literally stops him mid-kiss and goes, Ben! Which I was like, what is happening? But I think she's like, hi, here you are. Like, oh my God. It's very endearing.
Then she sits with Ivan, who also I think is a front runner. He tells her that being a grown-ass man is what he embodies. There we are still so many more mentions of grown-ass man to go in this episode. The men just, like, latch on to these things, these catchphrases from the dates. And they're like, no, I'm the one with balls. Balls? You think you have balls? I'm the one with balls and is a grown-ass man. But he's like, yeah, I want to give back. I want to start a charity. She's like, yeah, I want to build an empire. And they're like, you're too perfect.
Of what, though?
You did research on me.
I'm like, you're saying these really generic things. Like, you want a charity. You want an empire. Like, of what?
This is, like, girl boss rhetoric. It's, like, empty ambition. That's what we're attracted to. Because once you say what the thing is, you know, that's something you can fail at. Or it's something that people might find bad or off-putting. It's much more appealing to just be like, don't you love ambitious women and charity? And, like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's much more frictionless. And they then do some blindfold play. Because part of being a grown-ass man is being romantic. So he blindfolds her, and he takes care to ask her whether she prefers strawberries or blueberries. I was like, consent. And as I was typing consent, he just like leans in and lays a kiss on her while she's blindfolded.
I wrote in consent soon. Going like, no consent, no consent.
Ivan, consent, my man.
Consent, no consent.
That could have gone really badly. Like, it could have.
Yeah. Fortunately for them, Tayshia is extremely into it. She's very excited by their interaction. It definitely could have gone quite badly, and I do not encourage men to woo women by blindfolding them and kissing them without warning. But Tayshia's feeling good. She's had a number of conversations that she is just interested in all the guys, which again is just a marked contrast to Claire, who was like, I can't believe I have to hang out with these dudes instead of Dale. Tayshia's like, I want to marry all of them. But back at the fire, Bennett and Ed are just like going after Chasen. They're like, some guys aren't as fired up about Tayshia, aren't as relieved that Claire is gone, Chasen. And Chasen goes on this amazing little riff. He's like, these guys can come at me all they want, Batman and Robin. I'll be Superman. Actually, no, I'll be Wolverine. That's my nickname. But they can find that out later.
I got really upset at this. Because I was like, this guy knows nothing about superheroes.
No.
If you say that you are Superman, that means that your human form is fake. Because Superman is like the only superhero whose human form is like not his real self, right? He's an alien from outer space. His real self is Superman. So I got really upset at that. And then when he said that he was Wolverine instead, I was like, so you're just a surly Canadian who can't talk about his emotions. Great. Good job.
I don't think he's reading that much into it. He's like, Superman is the best one.
Yeah.
So I will beat Batman and Robin by being a better superhero than them. Or actually, I should be Wolverine because apparently I already have a superhero nickname that I forgot about temporarily. And that works. I mean, clearly, like, he's Wolverine because
his hair.
His hair.
He's tall.
Surly facial hair having gentleman.
Yeah.
Or something. But, you know, he hasn't really fleshed this out. He hasn't done his world building here. This is more of a pitch at this point. And this is when Chasen introduces his main defense of his switch to Tayshia, which is he's pivoting. He invested some time and resources in Claire, but sometimes marketing conditions change. You have to pivot. And that's fine. Like, he's doing the pivot.
Right, like,
and he's
some
doing it very strongly.
Companies pivot to video. Some right. Chasen's pivot to Tayshia.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes.
Is pivoting tough? Yes, it is. But it's what you have to do to survive in this uncertain economy.
And Ed is really going in on him. He's like, this guy Chasen only has 5 adjectives, which is clearly evidence of that he is, quote, spinning a web of deceit around Tayshia.
Right. Yeah, he used the same words to refer to both of them, like, right. Beautiful. And I'm like, whoa. He called 2 women he thinks are beautiful, beautiful.
First of all, that's extremely common. Second of all, I was like, maybe it's less that Chasen is deceitful and more that he has a limited vocabulary in general.
Yes. Yeah. But don't you know, Emma, a limited vocabulary means that you are insincere.
Right. Yes. I'm learning. I just learned so much about character from this show.
This is what the Trump discourse has really done. People are like, oh, if you don't have more adjectives, you're a bad person, actually. I don't make the rules. And so they have some back and forth. Ed's like, you don't have the right intentions. You're a bad actor. And Chasen says, I don't know how to take you serious anymore, Ed. You're holding a baby. You have chicken legs. You lost the competition. Ed says, dude, chicken legs. That's fine, man. That's fine. Which is just the most incredible display of miffedness I've ever seen. Like, Ed is clearly like, I can't believe this dude said I had chicken legs and I can't strangle him with my bare hands. No, that's fine. That's fine. Chicken legs. Whatever. I'm not going to be thinking about that for years. Never skipping leg day again. And so Ed has decided to bring this up to Tayshia. He sits down with Tayshia and is like, Chasen isn't being genuine. He says the same things about you he said about Claire. He uses the same adjectives. He's just there for Instagram followers. And then he goes back and tells Chasen, hey, I just told Tayshia how much you suck.
That was actually a good move because it's worse to not just say it when you talk shit about someone. Like, strategically, right. I actually thought that was the right thing to do. I mean, the right thing to do is, like, to not bring it to Tayshia at all.
Yes.
But
it never goes well.
It felt like this whole episode, like, Ed was like, I'm not gonna win, but I can maybe take Chasen down with me.
I don't know.
I see that.
I think that Ed thinks that he can come out ahead here. I don't know why he thinks that, but he does seem to think that he can kind of get Chasen out without suffering.
He
a
might
blow
be delusional.
Own,
that's actually fair.
Which I do think is deeply delusional. That's not how this works. And he's, I think that more than usual, even we're seeing some projection at work in that these guys are all aware of how suspect it is that they all professed for several weeks to be there for Claire. And now they're supposed to be there for Tayshia. And that's a weird pivot, you know, like it calls into question how specific and sincere their feelings for Tayshia are. And they all kind of know that. And Ed's way of grappling with that is to single out one specific dude who is not him and to build a case for why he's the one who's not being sincere. As far as I can tell, based on nothing in particular, except Chasen maybe not being very well-spoken.
Well, I think this is like a production thing, right? Because this whole thing really comes out of the blue. Like the editing on this, I was like, whoa, all of a sudden Ed is a person that I need to care about. Who is he? And like, now I'm learning more about Chasen, and I just like, it felt like it came out of the blue for me.
It did. Yeah, there's definitely there's always production shit stirring in the background of these things. And I think that that's probably true because it is out of nowhere. But Ed has decided whatever is being whispered in his ear, he's like, this works for me. I'm going with it. Meanwhile, Tayshia grabs Chasen and tells him what she heard from Ed. And he's like, listen, it was a pivot, but the pivot is going very smoothly. I'm really vibing with you. And I'm really hurt and insulted that Ed would say those things. It's not true. So then he goes back to the group and confronts Ed and says,
he's pivoted. I don't know
look,
if you've
I've
heard.
Pivoted.
But he's pivoted. Poor Chasen just like really gets like one phrase in his head and just says it over and over and over again. And it's clearly not specific to emotions. It's just when he's talking about anything.
And Ed has decided to get in on the masculinity shaming little bit and says, Chasen, you should take your medium shirt and sit down. And Chasen says, it's a large. What could be more humiliating than having a small to medium-sized shirt?
Like,
I can't think of anything. What woman would want to marry a man who doesn't take a size large at least?
It's what I always put on, you know, I used to put on my dating profiles. It's like, medium shirts need not apply.
And they're still just sniping at each other. Like, Ed seems to be having fun. He has that shit-stirring, like, guy on the show vibe. He's like, I'm just kind of amused at poking this dude and seeing him squirm.
And Chasen does not handle it well because he's sort of a meathead. Like, he just is. That's his vibe.
And I think Ben sums this up well by saying, you know, that he thinks a grown-ass man is kind and humble and protects those who can't protect themselves. And Ed and Chasen, none of these people are exemplifying those qualities right now. And those, frankly, are not qualities that are encouraged or rewarded by the show.
No.
So he's in the wrong place.
Yeah, but I do really like Ben. I continue to really enjoy Ben. He's sort of wisely just, like, sitting back and observing this and not getting involved, as are the rest of the dudes.
And Tayshia gives the group date rose to Ivan.
Oh, I was surprised by this.
Me too. I thought it was going to be Ben.
Me too.
Yeah.
But she does that would have been really my guess like, too. I thought he would get a rose last week, Ivan, on a group date or cocktail.
She really, really likes him. And
I also think she likes a good gimmick, like those strawberries. Like she is looking for like silliness in her life. She rewards that. And like this is to me was another example of that. So I was like, okay, I can get behind this because strawberries and blindfolds, I guess.
Yeah, I think she likes sort of the thoughtfulness behind like, oh, they took the time to plan something and like think about it and do it. Yeah, and take me on this like little adventure.
So I think where Claire's love language was quality time, and like having these really deep conversations with men about their emotions, Tayshia's is definitely like, what can they whip up for me that's like a little gift of their effort and thought? And it's interesting. I just love having a season where we get to see these different styles contrasted. I think it's fun.
I know, I love it.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll have more on Tayshia's return to form.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something, without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now back to the show. So at the cocktail party, Jason is like, I need to nip this in the bud. He walks in with everyone. Before Tayshia shows up, he says, look, things have gotten out of hand. I don't want any more drama tonight. Bennett, Ed, if there's anything else you want to get off your chest, just do it now. Ed is like, I stand by what I said. You're a fraud. And Jason says, listen, I can be attracted to two girls. Like, that can happen. Maybe I use the same adjective for both of them. Well, here's my new word for Tayshia. She's a smoke show.
Like, oh, Jason, no.
No.
I was like, I was with you. Like, you can be attracted to two women. It's okay to use the word beautiful to describe. But, oh, no.
But also, like, is that the only way you can describe her still right now? That's the extent of your connection with her, is that she's
hot?
Show?
Well, yeah, that's literally the vast majority of these men, with both Claire and Tayshia, the only things that they can say about these women is that they are beautiful. They're like, but let me find another word for beautiful. Hot? Sexy? No. Those have been said before. Smoke show.
Yeah, the problem is not that you don't know enough synonyms for beautiful. The problem is that you don't have any other qualities that you can comment on. Also, he's chosen poorly because the other gentlemen all find the term smoke show absolutely hilarious. There's just an awkward pause where all the other guys start laughing and being like, smoke show, okay. And Jason looks just completely embarrassed. It's actually
he's
kind of incredible
editing. He's so deflated
in
this moment.
But then he leans into it. Like, he's like, smoke show is my word. Like, they all laughed at me. Too bad. She's a smoke show, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Bold.
Oh, my God.
Bennett says that he feels sorry for Jason because Ed got a perfect math SAT and can talk circles around him. I'm confused. I just want to point out here that Ed is 36. It is the first of two times last night that I felt compelled to write Ed's age down, which should tell you what kind of episode he had.
Why does Bennett know his SAT scores at all?
If you are 36 and you are still talking about your SAT score.
Because that is what Harvard men talk about.
He's like, what do you get?
He's like, oh, you went to Harvard? Here's my score. Like, it's wild.
That is so embarrassing for both of them, frankly.
It really is. Like, it's like when you, like, the idea that anyone cares about your SAT when you're 19 years old or thereafter is delusional. Like, it doesn't matter what your SAT score was. It really shouldn't matter at all. Maybe the SAT is going to die.
I was
going
to say, also, the SATs are a scam in themselves, but that's, like, a conversation for another day.
We can talk about that some other time.
Also, the idea that having a math SAT has anything to do with being a smooth talker is just, like, bizarre in another way.
Right, also, like, math is not related to diction.
It's all very confusing.
Bennett, it just, like, speaks again to, like, Bennett has this, like, attachment to empty signifiers of intellectual achievement that is deeply depressing. And the date that the cocktail party gets underway. I also want to note that at this point, Ed mocks Chasen for thinking that Chasen's physical presence could intimidate him. He's like, oh, do you want to, like, stand over me? Like, you're even big enough to, like, scare me. And I bring this up because of something that happens a little bit later. But first, Tayshia has some nice chats with some of the men. She has a moment with Joe. He seems to have brought her some sort of something like bibimbap or some sort of bowl of Korean food. And they talk about their heritage. She tells him she's African-American and Mexican. And he tells her he's of the Korean persuasion.
I wanted more of this conversation.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, they gave us just the intro to it. And then they were like, and now Spencer gives her popsicles. Bennett has a mini Eiffel Tower. Damar wrote her a poem. And she kisses him. And then she says, I'm sorry, I just grabbed you. A little recognition of the consent question, a little late, but I appreciate the mention. And the Ed, Bennett, and Chasen conflict is just still brewing.
I'm so tired of all of them.
At this point, it also feels like kind of mean. Like, yeah. It's not cute.
Well, this is what Claire and I were discussing last night. I was like, I find Chasen to be, like, not an appealing character. But somehow Ed and Bennett are, like, crossing the line to the point where, like, I feel bad for him. I'm like, don't make me defend Chasen. Like,
yeah, I don't want
on.
That. I don't want to
yeah,
do that.
I don't want that.
I mean, they're sitting around Bennett saying, oh, he had all day to think of another adjective. And he didn't even think of an adjective. He thought of a noun. A smoke show is a noun. They're like, he needs an English lesson. And I'm like, first of all, Bennett, like, let's revisit you not being able to spell limousine. But more importantly, like, not being very adept with language is not a moral failing. And, like, we are on the show. I've certainly been guilty of this. As I told Emma when I was in high school, I had a t-shirt that said, I judge you for using poor grammar. And, like, it's not a good look. It's childish. Like, the idea that you're better than someone else or a better person because you never confuse your parts of speech is condescending and gross.
Obnoxious.
I just found this all ugh. But when Ed gets time with Tayshia, he uses it to say, Chasen stood over me and screamed at me the other day on our date to intimidate me because of what I said to you about him. And, of course, earlier that night, he kind of mocks the idea that he could be physically intimidated by Chasen. So I get the sense that this is not really sincere, that, like, he didn't feel scared of Chasen and that this is all kind of a game to him, which I find, like, weaponizing Tayshia's concern for the men mistreating each other in that way to be
And also, like, it's
unpleasant.
It's a fully fair thing for her to be like, I don't want a partner who, when they are in conflict, resorts to being you know, physically right. imposing or threatening violence of any kind. Absolutely. Like, that's a very serious thing. And I thought it was, like, good of Tayshia to respond to that in the way that she did. But it was sort of sneaky on Ed's part to, like, exaggerate the reality of what Chasen had done. Not that I'm, like, saying, like, Chasen responded perfectly. Like, I think he was a little aggro, and that would be, like, concerning for me when thinking about a partner. But they both – it just made me feel like you both got to go. And I think ultimately, yep. like, they both are going to go in the next week or two.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's just – obviously, yeah, you don't want to marry someone who would loom over you to scare you during an argument. But I – Ed just, you know, he really played that up in a way that I'm not sure was entirely accurate, just to, like, sink his rival. And, ugh. So Tayshia sits down with Chasen to discuss this and is really upset. She's like, it's not a good look. I don't like that. Like, why go that route? And he's like, yes, of course. I just lost it because I was being falsely accused.
I was just going to say that I kind of appreciated this. I was surprised that he immediately went like, yeah, you're right. That actually did happen. Like, I was not expecting that from him. And Same. Again, I found myself being in a position where I was like, now I'm on your side again. This is weird. I don't like you. Like, why do I'm like, oh, okay, good for you. Like, great. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think there's something about this moment that, you know, we're used to seeing some incredibly toxic meatheads on this show. And Chasen is a meathead, but I'm not convinced that he's toxic. Like, he just seems sort of hapless in certain ways. Like,
yeah.
He got aggro. He's not gonna, like, lie about it or make excuses, really. He's just gonna be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I guess I'll apologize. And, like, mm-hmm. Does that mean that he handled the whole situation in the way that I would hope for from a husband? No, but, you know, all things considered, he handled that conversation with her better than I expected. Although when I hear I just lost it, that doesn't sound great to me. I'm like, well, don't just lose it.
Yeah, I mean, Tayshia's concern was, like, pretty valid, and I related to the way she reacted to it. But it was, you know, the way Chasen was like, okay, yeah, I did this, and then he's just like, I need to squash this. And he goes to Ed and says, like, look, I'm really sorry. I did get overly aggressive, and I'm, you know, I apologize for if I did anything to stir the pot or make you uncomfortable. And, like, that mm-hmm. should have been the end of it. And
yep.
Ed's refusal to just, like, accept the apology and move forward, like, this whole situation, first of all, was stupid. Like, there's not, like, real meat to this conflict at all. And it feels like, man, these dudes have all just been so indoctrinated into such a shitty culture and, like, a shitty way of expressing masculinity, and, like, it leads to these, like, really toothless entanglements that make them all look really bad, and they waste so much energy trying to, like, outman each other in a way that it's not helpful to anyone, including their relationship with Tayshia. I don't know, I was just like, I'm sad for the men right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for learning to accept someone not accepting your apology, which
sure.
is difficult for sure. But, you know, Ed does not have the sole power to end the conflict by accepting the apology. However, he should have. So they're both kind of, like, unwilling to ultimately let go of the pride of, like, getting the upper hand in the
right.
the conversation.
Neither of them will walk away and just yeah. be like, this is done. And then I really appreciated Zach in this moment.
Me too.
Who was just like, okay, I haven't even heard about this grown-ass man thing, but I'm just gonna show it to you. He, like, comes over and is just like, guys, I literally could care less about what you're talking about, but, like, let's just bury it. You're going in circles with each other. And it just ended it. And it was so
refreshing. It was surprisingly effective.
Yeah, I think there's something about how, like, exasperated he seemed that it was almost like, uh-oh, Dad was working up in his office and, like, he had to come down and break up the fight. And he's like, can you please just stop? I'm trying to get some work done.
Even like, though Zach and Ed are the same age.
They're the same age, right? Yeah.
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 Exactly. But I think that was enough for them to be like, oh, I see that me pushing this is not going to be a good look right now. And Tayshia and Zach also have a good conversation. She seems into Zach as well.
Mm-hmm. She really does.
And it's time for the rose ceremony. And the roses go to Zach, Riley, Kenny, Ben, Damar, Bennett, Spencer, Jordan, Noah, Joe, Blake, Ed, and Chasen.
Duh.
Both Ed and Chasen will be staying, despite the hopes and dreams of many of the men in the house. And going home will be Jay, Montel, and another one of the new guys.
Three
men that I have literally no idea who you are.
Jay was the straight jacket guy.
Are you on this show?
Oh, yeah.
Jay was the straight jacket guy. That was the only reason I knew who he was. But yeah, they're all...
I don't even remember that. Like,
fair.
I have no idea what that
was. So much has happened.
And Tayshia's like, listen, I don't think Chasen handled things well with Ed, but I have feelings for him already, so it's too late. And I think he's a good guy deep down. So, eek. Hope that
works out. And Tayshia's like, I'm a good guy, but Tayshia is a smoke show. Just going to really hammer that home once more.
She's a smoke show who can see his true intentions. So she's like an omniscient.
She's an oracle. An oracle smoke show.
I don't know if I agree with Tayshia's decisions here. But I did actually like that she said that she trusts her intuition. It felt refreshing to me, if only because I was thinking of like somebody like Hannah B, who would like agonize over every decision.
Yes.
She's like, no, I like him. I'm going to keep him around. Like, it just felt a little bit like, okay, great. Somebody who finally like trusts themselves a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there is something about the way that these drama sort of spirals tend to unfold where it's like, well, she should just send them home. She should do this. She should do that. I mean, you know, she doesn't have to do any of those things. If she still wants to get to know the guy, she should keep him. Like, you like your Chasen, you can keep him. That's my opinion.
Also, there's still so many, like, nothing guys that, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep Chasen. Why not?
Keep Chasen. Why not? Yeah.
And the next day, another date card arrives, because we're still on our off cycle. And on this date card are Easy, Brendan, Joe, Jordan, Spencer, Ben, Ed, and Chasen. I'm looking for my perfect match.
It's a wrestling
date. It's a wrestling match. I'm impressed that the guys guessed that.
Yeah.
I would never have. But yes, Tayshia is doing some sort of glow style moves with a wrestler when they enter the conference room, which is made up as a wrestling arena. And Chasen says, Tayshia is muy caliente right now. She is a smoke show.
Oh my God. This began his like attempt to speak basic Spanish.
Yeah, which continued.
It was very cringy.
At this point, I'm also wondering if they keep using the same smoke show bite over and over again, or if this is like, he really is saying it multiple times.
I was trying to listen to see if they sounded different, and like, I thought that they did, but I didn't like go back and play them next to each other, so it's hard for me to really say. I will say, whether it's the editing room or the guys, an unvaried vocabulary is not a moral failing, but as a viewer, it is a little dull, so something to think about. They're gonna fight some wrestling bouts. There's a UFC fighter and a WWE wrestler to teach the guys how to wrestle. They're like, she's looking for a guy who's not only strong, but who's willing to fight for her love, because that's what
very healthy.
That's the right message to
that's
send.
That's the right message. Just beat the shit out of each other for love.
For love. And this is where Joe brags about his all conference in volleyball and also does some amazing smack talk. They're trying to psychologically intimidate each other. And he's like, Spencer, you, your eyes are so beautiful.
You're so nice.
You're a really nice guy.
I love Joe.
I love that moment so much. Like, that would have won it for me. I'm like, cool. We don't need to keep going with this wrestling thing. You win.
Yeah, I would be like, oh, Brendan seemed kind of soft and sweet, but now he's being really intense. And so I guess it's Joe. I'm going to go with Joe, I guess. I do just love the one aspect of these really aggressively macho dates where we see the guys who kind of resist that, which is can't be easy in a certain sense. Like, there's so much pressure to perform that kind of masculinity. Right. And so it's nice to see. It's refreshing.
And it reminded me, I mean, given that we then see Wells is there at this date later, it did remind me of, like, Wells on his season getting, like, very winded during, like, the firefighter date and being, like, the physically unimposing one, and how, like, how much that endeared him to the audience and including A-list celebrities who he's now marrying. So worked for him.
It certainly can work out. and the plan is for them to perform in front of the other guys, the live audience that is available as usual. And first they're going to get all oiled up. Tayshia squirts oil all over them. There are a lot of rippling muscles. Joe is like pretty buff. And I was like, I can't handle this. I need some, like, stringy guys. I need some dad bod. This is not a dating pool that I need to see on my TV. Yeah. I need to mix it up a little bit.
It's unfamiliar to me. I'll say that.
And everyone's expecting Ed and Chasen to be paired up so they can finally work out their aggression. Although Spencer's like, I don't think that Ed can compete. He's all glam muscles. Just these guys all spend so much time in the gym. Like, the nuance of their thoughts about what kind of strength and different kinds of training and leg day.
It's really fascinating.
It's a whole culture. Because,
like, Ed is a big guy. Like, he's got muscles. Like, he looks impressive.
They're glam.
He's shorter. He's on the shorter end of things. But as far as I'm concerned, like, lower center of gravity, that's good for wrestling. Like...
Well, I think question about Ed is, does he have the full body strength?
Because those chicken legs, you know, they're concerning.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what we think, it seems like Ed doesn't feel confident either, because Ed waits until the very last minute when he is about to face off with Chasen in the rink and grabs Chris for a second and is like, my shoulders chronically dislocate. And I just don't want to risk going to the hospital. And he forfeits. And this follows up on his best friend Bennett skipping another physical portion of a date over a chronic injury. I really want to talk about this because I had such conflicted feelings about these choices and whether it's, like, good and refreshing that they resisted the pressure to physical combat in protection of their health, or whether it was maybe a little bit of a ploy to avoid losing.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I had both feelings too. Because on the one hand, like, yeah, you should feel free to say, I do not want to risk, like,
100%
injury or aggravating a previous injury for this dumb competition that, like, says nothing about whether I'm ready for a relationship or would be a good match. Like, and that in to that extent, that was refreshing. On the other hand, the way he did it after putting so much stock in physicality and, like, sort of trash talking so much and also participating in policing Chasen's masculinity, it made me feel like he's only averse to this when it's going to, like, affect him negatively, but, like, he's not averse to the whole project, and I think that's maybe what makes it complicated.
Yeah, it's, you know, the argument that, like, I don't want to go to the hospital because then that will screw up quarantine and then I can't come back, right? Like, on an ordinary season, the guy would go to the hospital if something went badly, and then he'd come back, and then he'd get, like, special attention from the lead because, like, oh, you're injured, poor you. That, like, it's a solid argument. And, like, I also have chronically dislocating shoulders. Like, that is a thing.
It is.
Once it happens once, it can happen easily a second time, and it sucks. And also, like, I can still wrestle, and I can still do a bunch of things. So, listen, I don't know what his body is like. I'm not going to police whether he can wrestle or not. The way that he did it, holding out till the end, he still participated in the lessons, from what I gather. So, like, that, like, he should have backed out right away at the very beginning. Then again, maybe I'm being overly judgmental, and he, like, felt a twinge in his shoulder while he was practicing, and then he freaked out. Like, I don't know.
Right. It's hard to know the context from the little that we do see, and, like, we can surmise, but I think it's interesting for us to sort of grapple with our own mixed feelings and, like how embedded that stuff is even, like, in us.
Yes. And also, again, this is an older male dating pool. He is 36. He probably has more injuries than your average 25-year-old Noah guy, right? Like, there's a reason. Like, he's 10 years older than Noah. Like, of course that, like, you've accumulated some injuries. Your body might be a little bit more fragile. Like, I feel like that also needs to be taken into account here,
you know,
when we're
what?
Talking about Bennett.
That's
and
really
Ed.
True.
That is such a good point. Like, it's not something I thought about. But, yeah, it's, like, different when you have these, like, former pro athletes who are, like, 2 years out of college versus, like, yeah, like, I am 33. I have, like, chronic shoulder, neck issues. Like,
100%.
When I do too many exercise classes, sometimes my knees start to hurt. Like, this is – it's – damn it. This is kind of just what being in your 30s is.
I think that I think that you're both right. And Emma, I think you touched on something that made me react to this badly, which is I often do wish that the guys or the women would be like, I'm not risking this. Like, you know, instead of going into the date being like, this is something that's particularly risky for me, but I'm just going to do it to show that I'm ready for love. You know, no, like, care about yourself.
Yeah.
This show manipulates you into doing things that are unsafe on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And, like, good for you for speaking up.
Yeah. And I think it's just, it's confusing and frustrating to see it be the same people who have been, you know, taunting other people on the show for not being big enough or for not being, you know, like, for not being, physically imposing enough in combat or for not being smart enough. You know, this idea that, like, it's okay for Bennett and Ed to judge the other men for not meeting their standards of masculinity, but then at the last minute they can take themselves out of any sort of competitive arena that poses risk to them. That frustrates me. Like, I would like to see a more holistic sort of commitment to everyone's health and well-being, which,
well,
of course, we're never going to see.
Burn down gender roles. The binary is a lie. And that's ultimately what we come back to.
Exactly. And
always.
There's so many subtle little signifiers too. Like, even Wells being like, oh, I just predict blood, sweat, tears, someone calling their mom. And I was like, oh, man, that's just, I can't imagine them saying that about women competing in a wrestling date. Like, this idea that, like, it's shameful and weak for men to rely on their mothers or to lose. Yeah. To experience suffering, to need comfort. Like, it's a joke, obviously, and I'm not saying that, like, Wells or Chris or whoever is trying to enforce toxic masculinity, but, like, it's just so interesting the subtle ways that we express the idea that it's shameful for men to experience these things that we find normal in women.
Right, and, like, if there was the equivalent date with women, you know, it would be, they would be oiled up, but in this way of, like, watch them pillow fight in the arena and see who's, like, the sexiest fighter. And, like, it's, you know, you're not, you see in, you know, depending on the gender, the date might be similar, but the way that it's framed is going to be very different. And mm-hmm. I mean, look, that's why we like talking about this stuff, is that it's not specific to bachelor or bachelorette world. It's indicative of that larger culture.
Yeah. And it's, speaking of which, this date was so dangerous. Like, they keep getting hurt.
Yes.
And I'm like, bleeding. Yeah, you've got all these extremely jacked guys who are covered in oil. They're not wearing any protective gear. And they're slip slide hurling each other all over this, like, this.
The
like
oil elbowing definitely each makes other this in the more face. Dangerous.
The oil makes it so dangerous. I was shocked that no one did have to go to the hospital. Because, yeah, there's so much less control without the normal friction of two bodies. You know, they're just slip slamming all over everything and against each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really expecting something much worse to happen. We do see a lot of scrapes.
Yeah. But they all seem generally okay. So Ed backs out. And then Noah takes Ed's place. So Ed really miscalculated here.
Yeah. Or did he? Because Chasen looked absolutely fucking terrifying. And Noah is
true.
I more
mean in the long run, mm-hmm. because as we know, Noah ends up kind of dominating the rest of the date.
Right.
Also, such a good point that Noah is like by far the youngest. He's 25 years old, and he's just like, yeah, I'm here. My body's spry. It will bounce back from anything. Like,
100%.
Yeah. Like, basically, Chris is like, will anyone else fight for Tayshia's heart? And Noah leaps the chain link fence. We've got another fence jump, but not quite as terrifying as the last one on the show.
He does this in jeans, too. Like, why didn't they give him a pair of shorts?
What fun would that be? You know, so he's a little bit hamstrung. Like his range of motion isn't quite as broad as Chasen's. And ultimately, the refs have to pick a winner, and they give Chasen not only the win, but I guess the belt for the whole tournament.
Who can say what the criteria were? They're professionals. You know, Tayshia's like, Noah, you're so bold. You can come to the rest of the date. The other dudes are pissed.
They're so not their decision. At this point, Ed says he's not gonna. Tayshia's never gonna pick Noah. He's 25. She's 29. Again, I just want to point out that Ed is 36. He's 7 years older than Tayshia. But of course, she would never pick someone 4 years younger than her. That's insane.
Even though, like, she's dated, the only men she's dated from this franchise have both been younger than her.
Right. I'm like, have you watched this show?
Clearly not.
We all know that women simply can't date men who are younger than them. But they can date men who are really any age older than them right up until death. But Tayshia spends a little time with Noah right off the bat. They make out. And then she's like, Noah, there's one thing. And he says, you don't like mustaches? Noah has a mustache.
It's a look.
I love the
mustache.
Okay,
so I had a deep conversation with my wife about Noah's look, and we both concluded that we really like it, and we're really upset that the mustache is gone. I was like, he's got this weird, like, military Top Gun kind of look, and, like, I kind of need him in aviators, and, like, his body also looks like that. Like, he's not super ripped, but he's just ripped enough that I'm like, I don't know. We were like,
he's much less distinctive without the mustache. I thought
I loved it. It's like a good accessory. Like, it makes him look vintage. There's just something about, and I think it's a well chosen shape. You know, for him. Clearly, a lot of thought went into this mustache. She makes him shave it. She's like, no, I don't dislike the mustache, but I'm curious what you look like without it. Let's shave it
tonight.
Which
is a very coy way to be like, please take that thing off.
Yeah, which, listen, she's the bachelorette. She's in charge of their bodies. And it's just hair. He can grow it back. So
this is true.
Off he goes to get a razor.
He seems eager to, you know, perform for her.
He's amused.
Yeah. The stakes are low for him. He can riff on this. He's like, Tayshia asked me to cut away a big part of my life, and it's an ego blow because I thought she loved it. And I just want to say, Noah, She should have loved it. It's a good mustache and it will be missed.
I agree. It was a really good mustache.
Thank you.
I suspect it's made a comeback by now. I don't know. I haven't checked his Instagram, but I think it could be back.
So she has a couple chats with a couple of her faves while he's gone. She talks to Brendan more about dating after divorce. She talks to Chasen, who says that she's looking muy bonita.
Chasen.
He's really trying to mix things up, vocab-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And she's with Jordan when Noah returns with his razor. And Tayshia's like, I really need to see this, Jordan. I'm sorry. You have to go right now.
Poor Jordan is just like, he's just like the working man, you know? He's like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to do my best. And hopefully I'll be rewarded for it. And like consistently, he's just middling.
That's just, yeah, unfortunately that's not. And he got all scraped up during the bout too.
I know.
And for nothing. Ben, meanwhile, hasn't talked to her at all, but he's been rhapsodizing about how he's going to, like, manifest a love story and a rose, and, like, he's waiting for the right moment.
He's
and
like, I'm just going to go last.
He's going to go last.
I was like, that's always a bad idea. That's always a bad
plan,
idea.
Dude. It
because
is a bad plan.
Because now Tayshia is busy with Noah again. She's shaving off his mustache, and she says, with great surprise, actually, you look really good. You're kind of hot. I was so offended on his behalf.
Burn!
Which, like, if someone said that to me on a date, I would be, what do you mean? Like, you seem surprised that I look good, A. B, kind of hot. This date's over.
He handles it so well, though, because he's like, but wait, what about my kiss?
Yeah.
And it is a good move. I'm like, okay,
she's into
listen.
It.
You're 25, but you actually have some moves. I appreciate this.
What's the point of shaving off the mustache if you're not going to kiss the mustache-free mouth and see how it's different?
Right.
And she returns to the group. Ben still hasn't gotten time, but she seems ready to hand out the group date rose. And Ben is devastated and decides to speak up and ask if they can talk before she gives out the rose. And Tayshia does not receive this well.
She's like, no, Ben, the night's over. And I was like, you know what? She's probably exhausted. It's probably like 3 a.m. at this point. And she's like, the night is over, Ben. You
yes.
didn't do your duty of coming to grab me.
Yeah.
Let's all go to bed.
Yeah. She doesn't want a guy to sit back, and she's setting boundaries, which I appreciate.
Yeah. And like, this is something we saw with our previous bachelorette too, and like, I'm surprised Ben hadn't learned the lesson by now that the bachelorettes do not like it when you hang back. They want to be eagerly pursued early in the night. And so Tayshia gives the rose to Noah, who was not even originally on the date. I
Which
wonder if they're gonna yank
pisses
him off of
everyone
date.
Off.
Oh yeah.
Oh, they are.
Do you
so
think they'll
mad.
Still put him on the second date?
Like, I wonder.
In theory, he would be on the other group date that's coming up next week. I wonder if
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I was wondering, like, does he still... Because that would... I mean, if I was a producer who was trying to stir shit up, as
right.
I'm sure these producers are, that's what I would do. I would 100% put him on another date because, like, he didn't get a full date.
Oh, yeah. And then all the guys would blame Noah for being so classless as to
right.
be on two dates. And be awarded a rose. Imagine the lack of class to have the bachelorette like you. First Dale, now Noah. We keep seeing this classless behavior.
Yeah.
Of being
when will the scourge
desirable.
End?
Yeah. And I think the misplaced anger here also, like, Ben gets really upset at Noah for, like, stealing his time. And I find that annoying. Like, I'm just like, no, this is your fault. Like, she
like,
told you it's your fault.
Ben, you just made the wrong gamble. And look, I'm sure also part of this is, like, he shared this plan with the producer. They were like, yeah, just wait. You'll get your time. And then they screwed him.
Yeah, I feel like often there is frustration with producers that has been sublimated into frustration
yeah.
with the other guys, because if production was
right.
like, you can go last, and then they're like, well, Noah came back and like used up that time,
so now it's time
you're
to go
not
to bed.
You're not thinking, oh, production told me they get me time necessarily. You might just be thinking, Noah stole the time the production had reserved for me.
Right. Or you are upset at production and you know you can't say it. So, like,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there. I feel like the longer I watch this show, the harder it is to watch these things without being like, production told them to do that. And it does take a little bit of the magic out of it, to be honest. But that's my responsibility as an adult watching reality television. Any final thoughts on this episode?
I thought it was like a return to form, you know, like we're seeing Tayshia just yes. be, you know, I really like her. I think she's great. I think she's sort of like that comforting return to more like conventional Bachelorette seasons where we're seeing like a handful of front runners and it's unclear who she's going to end up with. And she's like invested in seeing through the full journey.
Yeah, I thought like, oh, a regular Bachelorette episode. Like it was nice to not be stressed out the whole time. And don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed Claire's time on the show. Like I think that was valuable. And also it was like a comfort to like get this and to have some moments of levity and some drama, and it just felt kind of normal.
Yeah, there's a reason that we like the regular formula, and I also really like when it's broken for variety, but never anything wrong with the classic, good old-fashioned, straight-up Bachelorette. That's why we're all here.
And we get to have both this season. Again, like, I love this season.
Me
it's
too.
It's a treat.
Yeah.
And I guess next week we'll be starting off with a one-on-one date probably because we just had our first group date of the cycle. I do wish that they would get back on a more regular schedule.
I know that. I have a feeling that because of the, you know, sort of condensed timeline here, we're going to see a lot of confusing shifting around. But, you know, that's what we do for this show. And Arielle, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
I really, really enjoy this. I listen to this podcast religiously. My wife never misses an episode. So this was a total joy to be on this.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, I hope you can come back soon. We have, of course, Matt James coming up. Hot on the heels right. of Tayshia.
Yes.
So it just keeps going. But thank you again. This was super fun.
So now it's time for Feminism Fails. And again, we have a good handful this episode.
Yeah, this whole episode was just a grappling with masculinity in today's modern world. But we're going to single out a few highlights, starting just with the concept of a grown-ass man competition. Could have been worse, putting it on a scale from, you know, boyhood to manhood as opposed to, you know, femininity to masculinity is better, I guess. Still a competition involving men's physical skill and smarts as an indicator of whether they're really a man, and just generally not great. You know, this is something we'd love to see the show just kind of move away from, full stop, and I'm going to give that a 2.
Next, we have Chasen suggesting that Bennett is less of a grown man because he didn't show physical dominance. Again, this sort of goes back to this larger idea that we've been talking about this whole episode. Like, being physically stronger than another man doesn't make you more of a man or more of a grown adult. We're going to give that 1 a 3.
Along the same lines, Chasen and Ed really start poking at each other about this question. Chasen says Ed has chicken legs. Ed says Chasen wears a small to medium sized shirt and is not really big enough to be intimidating. These are insults that really just derive from the idea that you have to be really muscular and meaty to be worthy of respect. And we're going to give that a 3.5.
And then we see Ivan kiss Tayshia while she's blindfolded without warning, without getting any consent. I obviously don't think that Ivan, you know, meant to or even actually did make Tayshia uncomfortable. She seemed to be into it. But, if we're talking about what sort of messaging this show is giving to its wide viewership, it's not great. We really would love to see enthusiastic consent modeled more often. And we did see it a little bit this episode, you know, with like Ben. So we're going to give that one a 4. Always get consent before you make out with someone.
And finally, the wrestling date. Physically fight each other for love is sort of the mission of this date, suggesting that men should prove that they're ready for a relationship by beating the shit out of each other. It's just an ongoing theme of this franchise and of our culture as a whole. And it's very damaging. Despite it being mostly just a gimmick so they can do something different on the date, perpetuates a lot of these really harmful messages. So we're going to give that a 4.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Arielle Duane Ross, and to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap the next episode of The Bachelorette.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.